Chasing China.
Ni hao and welcome back everyone to Chasing China. I'm Zara, your host and guide through the mesmerizing journey of expat life in Beijing. Whether you're a seasoned expat, considering a move, or simply curious about life in China, this podcast is here to offer you a front row seat to see what it's truly like to live, work, and thrive in Beijing. But before we dive into today's episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on the exciting and valuable insights our guests have to offer. Now, without further ado, let's get started on another adventure of Chasing China. And today I'm thrilled to present you Brenda. Brenda is not just a remarkable and beautiful Mexican woman, she's a proud two-dog owner with a lot of experience to share. Hello, hello, thank you for being here today, Brenda.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
So I start every interview with a funny little game. I will throw out a word or phrase related to China and you have to share the first thing that comes to your mind. You got it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so let's start with traditional Chinese medicine.
Interesting.
Chinese favorite food.
Daozi.
What is that?
It's kind of a dumpling with food inside.
English in China.
Not so many people do speak English.
China's nature.
Beautiful.
Chinese parks.
Dogs are not allowed.
And last but not least, Hutongs.
I love them. The traditional houses in China, they are beautiful.
And for the listeners, Hutongs are like old streets in China, especially in Beijing, where you can see traditional houses which show how people used to live. And there you can also find Chinese street food and everything. Well, but now, could you tell our listeners what brought you here to China in the first place and how long have you been here?
So, I have been in Mexico. I met in Mexico my husband Lucas, and because of work, they moved him to here. So, we are living now in Beijing because of his work.
And for how long now?
We have been here since 15 months, so not so long, but not so short. So, it's good. Now we have some experience here in China.
That's good for today's episode. So, you have two dogs, right? What are the names and what are the types of dogs?
Okay, they are Mexican dogs, and one is Nala, the other one is Benji, and Nala is a Shiba Inu, and Benji is a street dog from Aguascalientes.
And I noticed that there are definitely not so many dogs here in the city. Do you have the same perception? And why is that? And how pet friendly is Beijing?
No, there are not so many dogs here. Oh, I mean, here in the center where we live, in the CBD area, there are a lot of dogs, but not big dogs, because here are rules about the size of dogs. In this area, you can have just dogs of high of 36 centimeters. So it's just small dogs. And you have to pay money for the dogs to have a permission to have them in the apartment. And it also depends on where you live is the cost of the dog. And yeah, I mean, outside of this area, there are not so many dogs. So, and Beijing is not so pet friendly. Parks are not allowed to have a dog. And also not taxis or subway or buses. It's not easy to move with a dog. I mean, taxis, we have some apps that you can use. Or I do it, for example, to just go into the taxi and just say nothing, to put my dog in the backpack of dogs and then just say like, hi, drive. Like this, and then I don't ask, and sometimes they don't like it. They can also can say, no, you cannot come in, you just have to go down, and then it's fine, but then it's not so easy. I mean, I just can't walk in the street with the dogs, not inside parks where it's beautiful and nature. So, and the streets are not sometimes so clean, so it's not easy with a dog. And also restaurants and so, it's not pet friendly.
Okay, wow, that already sounds very complicated. And you also mentioned certain rules. And I think later we will come back to that topic. But first, what are some challenges you faced also regarding finding a good place or apartment for you and your dogs?
Yeah, some buildings don't allow dogs. So you have less chances to get a nice apartment. Or, I mean, we live in a nice apartment and we are so grateful that we can put our dogs there because of the area. We like the area. But the problem is also, for example, if you want to go on vacation with the dogs, there are not so many hotels that allow the dogs. So it's not easy for us to travel around also because of this.
Okay, so just to repeat it, so dogs are not allowed in parks, they are not allowed in subways, they are not allowed in taxis, they are not allowed in restaurants, and...
Yes, I mean, some restaurants allow it if you sit outside. But for example, now in winter, it's so difficult because it's so cold, so you cannot sit out. So then it's not an option for me to go to a restaurant if I want to take my dogs. Some restaurants, yes, you can put the dogs in, but it's not easy. Or sometimes they're going to say, no, it's not allowed. Taxis, as I said, yes, but you have to just to be brave and just go in. Don't ask, say, like, you don't speak Chinese, and just like, okay, hello, I'm sitting here, just drive. And then if you are lucky and then they don't want to argue with you or something, then they are going to say yes. But it's not easy. I mean, or there is some apps that you can use, like a pet transportation, but I have never used one because I don't know how to use it. And I don't know. I know that exists, but I have no idea which type or where to look for. So it's not easy. We have a car, and that's the way we, if we want to move the dogs, then with our car. But I mean, if I would not have a car, then it would be difficult.
Wow, yes, I understand. So having dogs here is not the easiest experience. But so you said here are not that many dogs, but how do people in Beijing generally perceive dogs? And have you encountered any cultural differences in attitudes towards the pets?
I mean, in general, here in Beijing, you have a lot of rules with the dogs. You have to pay the permission of the dog. Normally is just allowed, at least in our building, just one dog per apartment, so, or by the police. So you have to go to police, then make a registration of the dog. And for example, for us, first who came to China, it just allowed one dog per person, like per passport. Then you have to ask another person to put the, well, for example, for us, one dog name into another apartment, and then you can do it. And also to go to the police come to the house and measure your dog that it's fitting to the measure of the law. And then so to pay. Also to have all the vaccines. And when they put one vaccine, then you have like a necklace to the dog. So to say that he's full vaccinated and no worries is not easy. And also people, they are super afraid of dogs, some people. I mean, some people who has dogs, super friendly, normally they cannot be unleashed. Because if a dog here, they are unleashed and the police catch them, then it's difficult to take again, like to recover your dog. Just if you have all papers in order and everything in order, then you can go and then says, okay, this is my dog. And I don't know what happened. Pay, I don't know. And then you can have your dog. But if not, your papers are not in order, then it's difficult. And I mean, in general, some people are scared of dogs. I mean, sometimes in the elevator, I'm in with the dogs. And they are not big and people just don't come in. Like they are super afraid and it's fine. I mean, it's fine. It's totally understandable. But for me, it's like shocking because in our culture, it's like you see a dog and maybe you are not so afraid as here. And other people, they are so nice and they also touch the dogs or ask you. This is also nice. People here in China, they ask you, can I touch the dog? And for example, in Mexican culture, sometimes we just go and touch the dog. So these kind of things is nice to have it here because they are careful with the dogs and the reaction of the dogs. But one thing I really don't like is that sometimes here also in the area are like bigger dogs as allowed and sometimes they are unleashed. And I have two dogs. So sometimes I don't know how my dogs are going to react to another dog. And also I don't speak Chinese. So it happened one time, it was a dog coming to my dogs. And I was like, no, put the leash. I don't know. And I say to the woman, put the leash to your dog. Because I can see the reaction of my dog, one of them, and the other one, and it's not friendly. And I cannot carry them. I mean, I have two dogs, one dog in each hand. I cannot take them both and carry them and then just run. So she was just like, she don't care. And then she started taking out the phone and then just start recording. And I was like, so scared, like, what are you doing? Just take the leash to your dog, like put the leash to your dog. And then she just record. And then she called him. And then the dog, like understandably, but like 3-4 times calling. And then the dog understood. Then he went away. But for me, it was like, oh, these kind of things, because also I cannot communicate the level to say, hello, my dogs maybe react to your dog and you put the leash. So I cannot do that. So it's so frustrating. Or yesterday I was with the dog and then it was another Shiba, and then they want to fight. I was pulling my dog, but she just gave more leash to the dog, to her dog. So it was frustrating that I cannot do more or to tell more. So it's a problem for me.
Yeah, and that is frustrating when you just want to solve a situation which is like solvable, but you just cannot do it because of the language barrier. But yeah, do you have an explanation why Chinese people are, like, compared to other cultures, are that afraid of dogs?
Not really. I don't know. I mean, maybe also the parents, like the parents are afraid and then they pass these to other dogs, like to the kids. Or also you heard cases here in China that some like dogs that they were not leashed and then a kid came and bothered them and then the dog react. And then for sure it was an injured kid or whatever, but it was just, if in my point of view, it just because of the... not the parents or the adults around, they were not taking care of the kid and the dog.
Yes, and I think maybe they are just not used to it. As we mentioned, here are not so many dogs as in other places, so maybe it's just a mindset that they pass over. Before, we talked about the fact that dogs are not allowed in many places, but are here specific parks or areas in the city that are more welcoming dogs? Because it is a bit weird. Yes, here are not so many dogs, but still here are dogs, and they have to go somewhere with them, right?
Yes, there are like areas, green areas that you can bring your dog, and there is also another dogs, but I think outside of the city, like more outside that you are from the center, you can have bigger dogs. So there are compounds that have specific areas for dogs, but also there are parks that you can go with the dogs, and there are so nice parks. But for example, from my home, it's like 30 minutes by car. So I cannot go there often. I can go just weekends, some weekends, because I have to take the car and then the traffic and all this. But there are areas.
And I guess the 30 minutes also only if there's not too much traffic, right?
Yes, just weekends.
Yeah. So we already mentioned some of the regulations. Are there more regulations and permit requirements for owning a dog in Beijing? So you told us about the size of the dog and you have to pay and one dog per person. Can you tell us a little bit more about the rules and also how expensive is it?
Yeah, so the requirements is just to go to police to say you have a dog and then you have to pay for the each dog and to have a permission. They give you a card, like an ID of the dog. They have a, and they take a photo of the dog. So the ID has a photo, has a name, the breed, everything has the information. But these, you cannot lose it. And then you have to save it forever because they told you like it's no replacement for that. And it depends the cost. It depends of the area you live. Because of this area, we have to pay like 1,000 RMB just for each dog. And maybe more outside of Beijing, it's 200, 100.
And maybe for the listeners, 1,000 RMB are more than 100 euros. Is it per month or per year?
Per year.
Okay. What about the food? How expensive is the food for the dogs here?
Yeah, I mean, depends of the brand you gave to the dogs. And for us, because we knew we come to China, so we buy a international brand. And it's a little bit more expensive here. But yeah, it's okay, the price. Like in Mexico and Germany and here is kind of the same price.
Okay, interesting. And is there a sense of community among dog owners in Beijing?
I mean, I don't know so many people to have dogs here because, I mean, it's difficult to have a big responsibility and also here in China. But I know some people to have dogs and we share contacts of pet or products or so. And there is a woman who is rescuing dogs here in China. So I think if I have a question, I just go to her and ask. But I don't have a community of dogs. Just maybe in my building, I know some dogs and the owners to say hi in the elevator or something. But I think in China, there is some groups of Chinese people who have dogs and to say, okay, the law is this, or the police is now is here, and to say, okay, you have to do this paperwork and things like this. And also if I met another person in a park or in the streets and I talk to them, then we can exchange WeChat and to talk about it, but not really.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, in the last episode, we already talked about the benefits of WeChat groups. So I think there are also many groups or contacts where you get help and information. I just remember that you said going on holidays is very difficult because you have, of course, to take care of your dogs. But of course, also you want to go on vacation sometimes. So when you're out the country, what do you do?
So in Beijing, there are so many pet hotels. They are nice. They pick up your dog and then bring it to this place. And you can go and see the place. They send you pictures. And so I have that experience from friends that have dogs. But in my opinion, I don't like the places. I'm too sensitive with my dogs. So I hire like a nanny for the dogs. And she comes in the mornings when they have to eat and then go out with them. And then midday and then in the evening. Sometimes she stays in our apartment. If she has a time or no job, she stays there. And the dogs like her, no problem. But yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, or it depends of which pet hotel you hire. But sometimes it's more cheap than a pet hotel, but sometimes it's more expensive. But it depends. But we like her. She's trustable. And then my dogs like her and I feel comfortable with her.
Okay, and just to put it in perspective, about how much money are we talking? Because I know that in Germany, like having a nanny is so, so expensive. And we talked about it in the last episode that also an AI, so the nanny for the kids, are compared to Germany at least, very cheap. Is it the same for the dogs as well?
Yeah, they have like a base salary they charge and almost charge the same. But it depends, because if it's just one day, then they charge more. But if it's like 1 week or 10 days, then she's going to say, okay, I will charge less. Or if she has to go out and we talk and then you can discuss the price. But also it's because we always hired her. So it depends, but between 50 RMB, 40 RMB, it depends.
Yeah, so around 6 euros per hour. Yeah, let's get over to a more sensitive topic maybe. So I think a lot of people heard that there are still places where you can or where people eat dogs. What do you know about that?
Yes, I just heard this in the south of China. People do it less than in the past years, but they still do it. And I mean, if you see it in a cruel or not nice way, they are the same as a chicken or the same as a pork or a cow. So I don't judge them because it's by culture accepted. I mean, in our culture, it's not correct or not well seen because we just now see them as pets, but makes no difference as a pork or a cow. So I cannot judge them, but I would not do it. So,
well, I wouldn't do it either. So definitely not. Yeah, but I heard the same, like only in a very few local restaurants you can get it, but I hope I will never see that. Okay, let's move on to the next question. How do you address health and safety concerns for your dog? So are there enough pet doctors? How and where do you get them vaccinated? Is it easy accessible? Yeah.
I mean, it's always a concern, like when you have a kid and then you look for a good doctor. It's the same with my dogs. So there is a lot of vets here in China and also around the city. But when I arrived, we have to take Nala to the vet. And then I just wrote in this Mexican group. And then a lot of people just text me like, okay, is this. And the best one is a hospital that is so good, it's international. Not so many people speak English, but a few. And they really give you so nice support. So you don't have to worry of anything. They explain you. They have all the equipment. This is crazy. They have everything to do it there. And there is also a lot of dogs, cats, and the service is good. For sure, it's a little bit expensive, but it's okay to pay.
I think that's a big relief for dog owners who are thinking about coming to China. So last year I traveled to Japan and there are quite a few like cat cafes or dog coffee shops. Is there something similar in China?
Yes, I have never been like inside of one, but I've seen them. But I have never been in one because I don't like them. I have the feeling it's not nice for the dogs and the cats. I mean, if you see it in the nice way, okay, I will take a coffee and then I will pet a dog that I don't have, but I like, fine. But I've heard that sometimes these dogs and cats are not well treated. And this is so stressful also for a dog. Maybe, I mean, the dogs have their own personality and they are dogs that don't like to be touched. Like Nala, she don't likes to be surrounded of a lot of people. And Benji, yes. So Benji, you can touch all the time, but Nala gets so stressed. And this happened also with cats and dogs. I don't know the state of the dog. And for my opinion, I don't like it. But there is a lot of places here in Beijing.
Yes, I totally agree with you. You never know how these animals are treated. And in general, in these places, there's such a high frequency of people coming in and coming out. So that has to be at least a little bit stressful for these animals. And moreover, you also don't know how the guest treats the animal. So, yeah. Oh, and I wanted to add another thing regarding the car situation. So you said, of course, when you have dogs, it's always more convenient having your own car. So what I wanted to add is that I had a very good intercultural training, and there I learned that Chinese people are very forgiving with foreigners. Like, just for the listeners, a foreigner means lao wai. So when you cross the street and some people who are not used to see Western people, they just scream lao wai, lao wai. And then you know they are talking about you. But coming back to the taxi driver, so I guess that if you just bring a little dog and you are a lao wai and you don't know, so they are very forgiving and they just think, they just don't know. So sometimes I guess they just accept it. So go for it and try. But maybe a last question regarding your dogs. So maybe also for the listeners who don't know the Beijing weather, in the summer it gets very, very hot, above 40 degrees like Celsius. And in the winter it gets so cold, like sometimes lower than minus 15 degrees Celsius. So we have very extreme temperatures here. Yeah, and how does this weather in Beijing impact your dog's routine and lifestyle?
I think summer is more difficult for my dogs. Nala really, she don't likes to go out when it's summer. It's like, no, I prefer to hold as much as I can before I go out. Or she's like, okay, I do my business and then I go home when the air conditioning is on. And then in winter, I think it's better because we just put a sweater, not to Nala, because she has enough hairs to resist. But Benji has less, so we put to sometimes when it's super cold, a sweater, but not necessary. There is here they put sometimes shoes to the dogs because it's too cold. For me, I don't think it's necessary, so I don't put anything. And just a problem sometimes it when it's snow here, the people in China clean so good the streets after snow and they put so much salt. And this is a problem for the feet of the dogs. Like, it's not so easy to walk. But that's it. I mean, in general, it's just the summer is a problem. Winter is totally fine.
Okay, I understand. But I never saw the dogs with these little shoes on. I would love to see them.
Yes, it's funny because I said to my husband, like, yeah, we should try them one time just to see. Maybe the dogs feel comfortable. But then we bought them and then we tried to put them and no, they didn't like it. They just stopped. They didn't want to walk. And also in summer, you can see dogs because here the streets are not so clean sometimes. And the people, for example, they don't come into the houses with shoes. So also the dogs, they put shoes to the dogs to go out, to walk, and then they remove the shoes. This is so common to see here.
So sweet. I have to see it. But what is interesting now is that you say that the streets are not that clean. Maybe coming back to the topic of stereotypes, I think a lot of people think that China is very dirty, but I was so surprised. So in my perception, the Chinese streets are maybe even cleaner than in Germany. So maybe we have been in different places, but don't you think it's cleaner here?
Yes, here, I mean, the streets are really clean. I also was surprised about it. Just, I think, I don't know if you mentioned it in another episode, but the people here speed. You can find sometimes in the floor, like, speeding and so. Yeah, I don't know. I cannot take care of where my dogs step on. So this is one thing that people also do it. The Chinese people put shoes. So I think also to avoid this because it's just not nice. And also a lot of cigarettes. I would say these two things are just the trash you can find in the streets. Because also they wash the streets. Like really in the morning, there are machines to clean the streets. And also here in China, they hire a lot of old people to pick up the trash. And you can see all day old people cleaning like really good the streets. So and when I go home, then after a walk with my dogs, I clean the feet of my dogs. Every day I clean. So it's just better for my house.
Yeah, that's true. Chinese people spit and they spit a lot. And I already mentioned the intercultural training. And what is very interesting is that the reason behind the spitting leads back to Confucius, because he said something like putting out the human liquids, like out of the body, is something healthy. So I think all these years, this habit really sticked with the Chinese people. So maybe finally, would you recommend people to bring their dogs or maybe buy a dog here?
Yes, I mean, to buy not, to adopt a dog, because here in China, there is a lot of dogs to adopt. And I think they will be so happy to have a family. And yes, sure. I mean, if it's part of your family and it's the dog, it's so important that my dogs are for me, that are part of my family and I cannot live without them. And if it's a chance, yeah, sure, bring them. I mean, you can find always a park for them. Maybe if you have to drive 30 minutes, you will find a bed, a nice bed. You will find everything. So maybe just need a good contact to give you all the information, but then it's not a problem.
Thanks for your opinion, Brenda. And I'm sure that everybody who is looking for it will find something or somebody like Brenda who can be a good help for this process. So yeah, that was it. But let's not forget that you are a Mexican girl here. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about the Mexican community? Like, is there one? Tell us more about it.
Yeah, I was shocked because there is a big Mexican community and Latin community here in Beijing. I mean, I came here as a spouse, so I have a lot of contacts of women in the same situation as me. So it's nice because when you came here to new country, new language, and then when you have a little bit of guidance of other people have been here 8 years, 5 years, or 1 year even, then you don't feel alone. And then you feel like, okay, I'm not here alone. I can have the support of other women that speak the same language. Also to have the same culture, because it's difficult sometimes to, for example, Germans are more cold. They don't need so much contact with family or with people. Sometimes it's the average or the stereotype. And Mexicans, we are like, oh, I need to talk. I need my family. I need somebody to hug or something. And then you can have, even with a Mexican you just met, like, hi, can I hug you? And then the Mexican would say like, yeah, sure. Come, I give you love. So we are these kind of persons, or at least I am.
That's true. You are like that. And I feel so lucky. I think I mentioned that in the first episode that I lived 1 year in South America when I was 16 years old. So I'm fluent in Spanish. And when I got here, I was so surprised to find this big Latina group and community. And they're so welcoming. And they just, like you said, they are just so welcoming, telling you, come with us. We can show you this and that. So this community is very lovely and supportive. Okay, but let's move on to the next question. Are there specific aspects of Chinese culture that you find particularly intriguing or unique, or habits that like surprised you here?
Yes, the first is when you go to a restaurant, they give you hot water always. And this is like, for me, was like, wow, always water for free. And they give you a small glass and they just came and just fill it every time. So for them, it's important to drink a lot of water. And this, it's something that at least I didn't learn it, like to drink so much water as here, no. And also they eat or they drink based on the traditional Chinese medicine. And I think this is so good because they use the products or herbs or whatever just to put it in the daily life. Like, this fruit is good if you make a tea, and then I drink it all mornings because it's good for women, or it's good for the skin or for the lungs or for the blood system. So these things, I think it's super nice. And I would love to learn it, like what I can drink daily that it's natural and it's going to be good for me or for the skin, for the hairs, for the body in general. So these things, I think it's nice to just stop one time and just say, okay, I will drink this because it's good. That sometimes in the daily life you don't do it, and they do it just because of culture, habits, or just because the mom gave it since kids, and then they just learn it.
Yeah, I think in general, the traditional Chinese medicine has a lot to offer. And I think we have to dedicate one episode to that topic. I hope I will find a good guest who knows more about traditional Chinese medicine. So if you are it, just reach out. But yes, so traditional Chinese medicine is like you, I think you've all heard about acupuncture. This is one part of the traditional Chinese medicine, but just a little part. Like I said, this TCM, it is also called, has to offer so many things from different drinks, which some of them are very disgusting. So I tried them. So when I first went to the TCM doctor, they give this kind of drink to everybody and they say it's very healthy. And do you know some other aspects of the TCM?
Yes, I mean, I know just like how a little bit, I'm not an expert, I just heard it one time, but that your body is, it has the heat and the cold, and they, some organs work with cold and some others with hot, and there are food that they are also working with hot and cold, and then you have to eat properly, like some food at some time. So because that organ is working right now, and then you need to eat this because this organ is going to work like in the working time of the organ. So if you eat this, the organ is going to say, okay, I'm working now, and then you can eat it. And if you have one food that is not for that working time of the organ, then you are going to put to work, and then it's not healthy for the body, is what I've heard. And then they are also like, water is cold and minerals are cold. Also, that's the reason it goes at night. And all these kind of things that the traditional medicine is giving you, it's nice so to know. But the problem is also the language, that you cannot learn so much because it's just Chinese sometimes. It's difficult to find a doctor who speaks English, or just in the private hospitals. But it, then it's much more expensive as in the traditional Chinese hospitals.
Yeah, so it's definitely very, very interesting. And I think you agree, we definitely want to learn more about that. So, yeah, but we're getting to the end of the episode. So what advice do you finally have for other dog owners considering a move to Beijing?
One is to, when you arrive, to make the registration for the dog, then you are safe with the dog. If they something happens, if you have another problem with another dog or the unleashed dog or whatever, the police take it, then you have something on the, like a backup, like, okay, this is my dog, I have everything in order. So I think it's the most important thing. And then the other topics of pet and everything, they are solved. And maybe the building of the reception of the persons who help you to come here, they can help you or we can help you.
Yeah, such a great ending. Thank you for joining us today and sharing your thoughts. But before we say goodbye, I have one final question that I'll ask every guest on this podcast. So after your time in China, you were to return to your home country or another place. What aspect, habit or behavior will you bring with you?
I think the drinking water. I think to drink water and to be more conscious of what nature can give you to be more healthy and, yeah, just eat better, I would say. To take care of the body and also to practice some like Tai Chi and things to be balanced in the mind and to know better my body in the way of the traditional Chinese medicine. For me, it's like the most exciting and intriguing part. So I would say that.
I think that's a very good answer, especially drinking the hot water here. I know a lot of people are not used to it, but it is pretty healthy to drink hot water to meals and also in the morning. So yeah, I totally agree. Well, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to have you as my guest here on Chasing China. And I'm sure that this episode will help a lot of dog owners who are thinking about coming to China. So thank you so much.
No, I thank you. Thank you for the invitation. And I hope the information was useful. And I enjoyed to be here with you.
Thank you for joining today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed learning a bit more about the life of dog owners here and maybe also got interested in learning more about the Chinese traditional medicine. Once again, thanks for joining Chasing China. Subscribe to stay updated and stay tuned for more adventures. Until then, zaijian and happy chasing! I want to remind you that everything shared on this podcast is based on my own opinions, experiences, and perspectives. I don't want to judge or impose my views on anyone. Every journey is unique, and I appreciate you being a part of mine. Thanks again, and see you next time. Take care.